up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, T. Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And this hour, we have some more great information coming up about these. If you love music in this city, this is just so much, you know, and we have so much talent and everything here that there is no excuse. There's no droughts, you know, there's no, just any day at all times is always something. And this segment, my news straight and directly from the community, is from one of our precious ones, forever on the altar, precious. And you heard that laugh because you know what that means. How many times did y'all have to remember that when you went to school camp?
All the time.
Yeah.
That was the code word.
Yes. On the altar. Mm-hmm. But Kim Fleming, the one and only, is in the studio with us. And I know you just, you know, and last, was it two, no, 2 weeks ago when Mary Meadows was here.
Yeah.
He gave you high praise.
Yeah.
Mary's my dear, dear. And whenever he comes.
That was
very
kind
of him. It was. He said those beautiful things.
Yeah.
And I have, I recorded it.
Yeah, okay.
So you can hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
And you can hear it directly from him, because you're singing on his project, aren't you?
Yes, he released a project, I think, last February, and Ronnie Songs put me on one of his tunes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So you have a big event this weekend.
I do. I am going to be featured in concert with an organization called the Boys Incorporate. And it's a group of gentlemen who are native Nashvillians who come together and do different events. And they've started this scholarship fund event that happens every Christmas. And it's called The Night with the Boys.
Oh.
And so last year they had dancing and they had Joe Johnson and his band.
Uh-huh.
And this year they want to have a sit-down concert. And so it's going to be at the W.O. Smith School of Music on 8th Avenue. Yes, this Saturday. They're going to have cocktails at 6, and then they're going to start the program at 7, and I think I come on at 7:30.
Oh, it's going to be a lovely affair, man.
Yes, yes, and I'm going to have some special guests. I'm going to feature Lewis Cross, who is from Nashville, sings with Dr. Jones. I'm going to have, from Connecticut, jazz bassist Asa Livingston, and I've got a really lovely band, really great musicians playing with me. Let's see, we have Tim Hamilton on the keys, Teron Hamilton on keys. We have Richard Felton on the bass. We have Adam Smith on the guitar, and we have Kenny Phillips on the drums.
Oh,
and the background singers are Jovan Bender, Kim Mott, and Kamisha Ramey.
Okay.
And we've got a great set list, so
definitely.
I think it's going to be
Give me an
good.
Example of what's going to be on the sets.
We've got... I'm doing a piece called Good Morning Heartache by Chris Botti. I'm going to do an original piece that I recorded called Angel of Mine. We're going to do Night in Tunisia by, the arrangement is by Chaka Khan.
Yeah.
We're going to do a little bit of Frankie Beverly, We Are One. And we've got a couple other things I can't really think off the top of my head. I was going to do a piece that I recorded on the Handel Soulful Messiah. It's called And He Shall Purify. We're going to kind of adjust that a little bit. We're going to do, do you remember the song, What Will the Lonely Do?
Mm-hmm.
What Did the Lonely Do at Christmas?
Yeah.
We're going to do that.
Was that the Three Degrees that did
this? It was originally The Emotions.
Okay.
And we're going to do Patti LaBelle's arrangement. I'm dealing with gentlemen with age ranging from about 45 to 80.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to have a feel-good, you know, moment, throwback.
Yeah.
You know, because they told me they wanted it classy, but they wanted Chaka, and they didn't want it to be boring. They gave me this whole laundry list.
Oh, they
so
like
I was
Chaka
like,
Khan, huh?
Oh, yeah. One of them comes to see me perform with Tim Akers and the Smoking Section, and that group of, that audience likes a lot of Chaka. So
really?
So Chaka needs to give me a little percentage.
Okay.
I sing her songs all the time.
Yeah. Well, she was the heat back in the day.
Yeah. So I want to give them, you know, something that they can take home and, you know, really enjoy. Because my music is a little bit more subtle, you know. So I want them to have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and some of the songs that you named are really the R&B classics and the greatest ones from the play era.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And for the demo, that's what they like.
Yeah. I'm going to throw a little jazz in there just because that's me. But, yeah, it's going to be good.
Now, was last year their first one that they?
I'm going to say possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Okay.
But they're trying to do an annual thing.
Oh, beautiful.
So, as I understand it, they get together and do little social things and sport things.
Yeah.
But they wanted to just kind of hone in on helping the children to go to school.
Sure.
So the whole purpose of this is to fund scholarships for students to study at Fisk and Tennessee State University.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the same boys that they feed the students and stuff during the homecomings.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, they do, because they cook.
Yes.
And they feed.
Yes.
And we say amen.
Yes.
Because they feed at both institutions.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really beautiful what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a group of concerned men in the community?
Yes.
Are they alum? From both institutions?
Yes, I do believe so.
Okay.
I do believe so. Yeah, they are. And then can I give a shout out to Meharry?
Of course.
Okay, so in the morning, Saturday morning, I'm going to go and I'm going to perform at an event called Christmas Goes Pink. And that is sponsored by Meharry Medical College. And they are giving honor to those persons who have had breast cancer, mm-hmm. who have breast cancer, the family members and friends and caretakers and all who are connected with that disease. And they are trying to, research is still going on to try to eradicate the disease, but a lot of progress has been made in the healing process.
Your sister had breast cancer.
My sister, I have two sisters who struggle with that disease.
Really?
And one passed away in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, and Penny is a survivor, yes.
Okay.
And so they're going to have a big celebration on Saturday morning. They call it a day party.
Okay.
And I'm going to go and provide the entertainment for that on
Saturday
morning.
That is beautiful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I got your email blast or something about you had a long list. You know, I'm just going to have to ask for your autograph. I'm like, girl, look at this.
Yeah, I
you
did.
You got like seven or eight things.
Yeah. I've been busy. I just did a fundraiser for Meharry. It's called the Metro Nashville Alumni, Meharry Alumni.
Okay.
And we brought an artist in from Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
His name was Danny Clay, and he travels the country doing a tribute to Luther Vandross.
Uh-huh.
And he was discovered by Steve Harvey and nephew Tommy.
Uh-huh.
And he's worked with Tyler Perry, blah, blah, blah. But he first came to Nashville at Jazz and Jokes a few years ago, and he gives you the Luther experience.
Okay.
So I'm just.
Is that the Luther rotund or skinny Luther?
Rotund.
Okay.
The full effect.
All right.
Yes. The sparkles, the whole.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a really good show. Yeah.
Was he with her shiny jackets,
yeah.
girl?
I turned around to somebody. I said, y'all, I am singing with Luther Vandross. It was like that, you know, the song selection, everything. I think the people had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to. I'm getting more and more calls to put together fundraisers for people, and I'm really enjoying the. It's intense work, but giving back to the community, it just is a feel-good thing, you know, and also being able to incorporate some of Nashville's finest talent, you know. So God's got stuff in store for me, and I'm busy doing that.
Well, yeah. Not just fundraisers, but, you know, you need to, you know, people need to consider other things, too.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would like to do my own concert, not connected to that,
yeah,
and just let people come and hear me do my thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So we're working on.
Like, give me an idea of what you possibly might.
Acoustic music, you know. I like just the guitar. Mm-hmm. I like the stand-up bass, maybe a string instrument, and a percussion instrument. And I like the voice. I don't like a lot of amplification and music around it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So people can know, you know, she really can sing.
Right.
'Cause, you know, nowadays, if you... It's a lot of digital and animation and enhancement going on.
Yes.
And you just get a hook and you can have a deal.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So the older I get, the more I think my instrument becomes more mature and more seasoned. And I can do things now and I understand how they come about, you know, because it's the body is the voice. There's a lot of physiological things that go with singing properly and being able to sing all genres of music.
Absolutely.
You know, because I don't want to be pigeonholed into one space. So I went to go see Lisa Fisher, who is somebody who I truly admired last year. And she just stood flat-footed. And she had like 3 or 4 instruments, but she sang all kinds of stuff. Not to say that I would like to emulate her, but just to go back into my... Mm-hmm. Reach back into my journey with the different artists that I've sang with and just take some of the things that they taught me to be able to present that.
How important was your education at Historic Fisk University?
I
got to do a shout out
for
the whole team.
Sure, absolutely. I always wanted to go to Fisk since I was a kid. I was telling X that we had a babysitter that lived down the street near Pearl High School. And my parents came here to go to school at Tennessee State in Meharry.
Uh-huh.
We have to pass by Fisk and see the beautiful girls. And I was like, Mama, I want to go to Fisk,
oh,
you know. And so not knowing I had relatives that attended the school, too. But when I got here, I met Mr. Kennedy. We auditioned for the Fisk Jubilee Singers.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Kennedy was just such a classy man.
Yes, he was.
And I just really enjoyed the education, the experience.
Right.
And then they sewed into you. You see what I'm saying? You sang all kinds of. I was in the jazz ensemble. I was in the university choir. I was in the Martin Beck Mass Choir. I was in the Jubilee Singers. I was busy just taking it all in. And the first thing that I understood was that I'm not the only person that can sing. Because you know, when you're in high school, people make a fuss of you. But when I got to Fisk, I was like, whoa. but I didn't feel anything negative. I got to know those ladies.
Right.
You know, there was Donna McGilroy and Bertrell Cameron and Deborah Roundtree. There was several different voices that caught my attention, and I thought, let me go. So I would sneak into their recitals, or I'd sit outside the door and they would do their voice lessons. You know, just to take it in. You know, and learn different styles of approaching vocal music.
Right, and all that helped you to get
yes,
to
ma'am,
where
and
you
I
are.
Had the best voice teacher in the world. That was Valgia Bumbles.
Okay.
She can make a frog sing.
She's
incredible. She's incredible.
Okay.
Yes.
Now you can enjoy all this incredible talent Saturday evening at what time?
At 7 o'clock at the W.O. Smith School of Music.
And this is a benefit
for
The Boys Scholarship
It's hosted by the Boys,
okay,
and it's a scholarship fund for Fisk and Tennessee State University students.
Starts at?
It's in cocktail hour, starts at 6. The program starts at 7, and I go on at 7:30.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss it.
Yeah.
And tickets and all that at the door online?
Tickets are online, and I think the website is 615BOYZ, B-O-Y-Z.
Okay.
Boys Incorporated, and they are selling online. The tickets are, $100. However, $45 of it is tax deductible.
Oh,
yes, ma'am.
Okay, mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And you know, you need all of those deductions that you can possibly get nowadays.
Yeah.
Kim, you know, I love you.
Love you too. Thank you so much. For
and it's always a privilege to see you.
Thank you.
And you
likewise.
Know,
likewise.
Have you be in your presence, you know. I'm in the presence of the beautiful.
Oh, Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, here she comes.
Thank you, Sharon.
The lovely really and the talented.
It. Thank you so much.
Kim
Fleming. I really appreciate it.
But you're you know how I get. So you've been knowing Lisa a lot to us. Yeah. Sharon K. Long. Shut up, girl.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a time out. We're coming back with Dr. Fagans. And she's going to share some information with us this afternoon. And she is a Nashville medical provider and educator. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. It's Major Bumper to Bumper here, trying to get up through Madison on 65 northbound, passing OHB. Once you get up to Vietnam Vets, it starts to pick back up to somewhat of a decent interstate speed. We did have a wreck up there earlier. Charlotte Avenue 46, trying to move that crash out of that intersection. Heavy now on the South Loop, the West Loop, and 65 back down into Brentwood. This traffic report is brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Christmas is right around the corner this weekend on Blue Slam in the City.
My gift was by my ear.
That's Sir Charles Jones, and he's talking Christmas this weekend. And he's singing with a very special guest. Darlene Love will perform her big Christmas hit live, and she has a special guest. Join me, Gene Bailey, for Blue Slam in the City this weekend right here. Catch Blue Slam in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from Ed's Fish, located at the corner of D.B. Todd Boulevard and Buchanan Street. Ed's Fish is open Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. In business since 1972, Ed's features whiting and catfish with side dishes. For more information about Ed's Fish, call 615-255-4362.
Think fast. In the short time it takes to listen to this message, a small flame can turn into a big fire. Several minutes more, and thick, poisonous smoke may have filled your lungs and reduced your ability to respond. Give it 5, and your entire home may be filled with flames.
Keep breathing. We've got you.
Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and keep children 3 feet away from anything that gets hot. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov because fire is everyone's fight.
My family and I finally found the perfect apartment to rent.
My school is right down the block.
Can we go to the park anytime we want?
Yes, sweetie.
Then, after we were turned down, how was I going to explain? The landlord doesn't want families with kids in his building?
So we made a call to HUD and found out that's illegal.
If you think you've been discriminated against, call HUD at 1-800-669-9777 or go to hud.gov/fairhousing.
Fair housing is your right. Use it.
A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. We got a lot going on today in the studios of WFSK, and we are happy to have you listening and checking us out on your Wednesday afternoon drive home. We have been able to, as I mentioned early in the first hour, the technology monster bit this building we work in, and nothing here works. Y'all just wait for the day when all that stuff comes crashing down, because it's going to happen. And nothing works, and phone and the whole shebang. So it is what it is. But this guest is in, was scheduled, Dr. Shindanna Fagans is Nashville. And as things have worked for me this afternoon so well, and I'm just so thankful that the Father took care of business for me, that she was able to be here and to be with us in the studio. Dr. Fagans, how you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am most excellent. Thank you. Now, you have a lot going on. I read several things that you have in your history as far as education and as far as medical and nonprofit and helping the community.
Yes.
And how do you have time to squeeze all these things in?
And be a mom and a wife. And sit on boards and all that. Yeah, I sometimes ask myself, where do I find the time? But, you know, there's 24 hours in a day. So.
Yeah, yeah. And you do. You seem to balance it out very well.
I try. I really try hard.
Yeah. And your family is very supportive of you.
They are. Yep, my husband, he's my number one cheerleader, and my kids, so I'm very blessed.
Okay, husband, there's your there's your fan color. That is wonderful. And X, I have you know, he was happy to hear that.
Yeah, I was sitting here looking at him. He's like a little kid in love. He had his hand in his face, and he was just staring at us. She couldn't see that. I said, "That should take a picture."
Yeah, that's cute enough.
17 years we've been married.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Now, we have such in common. Mm-hmm. That is your nonprofit organization.
Yes, We Have Such in Common, Let's Talk.
Okay.
And then we have the book, which is called We Have Such in Common.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And part of what I wanted to discuss with you today, I was particularly interested in one of the components of what you do in encouraging harmony among children regardless of differences.
Yes.
And harmony, boy, that's an old school term, because it doesn't seem like anyone wants to have any harmony anymore. It's the opposite of that. Yeah. And here you come, have the nerve to be optimistic.
I know, right?
And where did you get that concept?
So it's funny because back in 2010, my line sister, I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. So all my sorors out there, hello. And so we're taking our kids to lunch, my daughter and her daughter one day, and they were in the back of the car, and it was their first time ever meeting, and they were just singing this, We Have Such in Common in these high-pitched voices.
Yeah.
And so I turned around and was like, Sarita, what are they saying? And they repeated again. And so from there, that's where it grew. We're like, you know, we can do something with this. It's a catchy phrase.
Yeah.
You know, there's meaning behind it. And, you know, I'm a former educator, a teacher, before I became a physician. And my partner, my line sister, Sarita, she's an educator.
Uh-huh.
She's a teacher with Metro Schools. And so we came up with that concept, and it was born from that. And then the book came, and then the song came after that, which is called "We Have Such in Common." And well, it's called "Just Like You." And we brought about 25 girls from different backgrounds together into the studio, and they recorded the song "Just Like You," which is on YouTube, and it's on our website as well. So from that, then we built a curriculum. And it just kept growing from there. And our curriculum basically teaches children of elementary and middle school age that teaches them about diversity and inclusion. And bringing kids together regardless of the differences in their background, socioeconomic background, religious beliefs, ethnicity, the texture of the hair, the color of their skin, you know, lets them know that we still have a lot more in common than we think. And so that's the whole premise of it.
And those commonalities that we share, that we all share, if you're working on the young people, can you help the grown folks?
You know, it's hard helping grown folks because we're set in our ways. So we thought, you know, the best thing, and I also want to give a shout out to my other business partners, San Quinetta Samples out of Atlanta, and Sylvia Johnson here in Nashville, Tennessee, and then, of course, Sarita Blakely. But I think it's easier to start with children because when you think about diversity and inclusion, you really don't – you think about corporations. Companies, large companies. And so, you know, we have to start teaching them young at that elementary school age when it really matters, you know, when you can – when they're impressionable at that age. And so we wanted to hit that demographic so that when they do become adults, you know, it's not something foreign to them, you know. And so I think that's important. I think that if we start young, by the time they get older, our age, you know, they'll be used to dealing with people who don't look like them, who don't think the same way that they think, but realizing that even though they're different, we still have a lot of common things.
Well, how does that, how does social media enter in since, you know, I noticed your daughter's head has been down the entire time that she's been in the studio. And at first I was like, well, maybe she's not having a good day. And I just did not realize that she got her phone down here. And I was like, well, baby, it's going to be okay. And then I look over there and so it's, oh, now I see your face. You're so lovely, darling. How are you? She's been head down the entire time. And so is everybody else's kids all the time. So how can we get them to put heads up and notice the differences around them, not online, but just in each other's faces?
Well, a lot of the things that we do in the classroom with the children are we do activities. And so that gives the kids an opportunity to interact with one another, put the cell phone down. And we do have a curriculum about social media.
Do you?
What's
in it?
Well, a lot of it talks about use of proper use of social media, you know, things
such as,
like, such as when you go online, not bullying people on social media and just, you know, positive ways to use social media. We talk about how different rumors can be construed through social media and just, you know, you just have to be responsible. So we try to teach that to kids, too, because it's such a major part of their lives.
So, it is. Too much.
I know. Cell phones. All of that.
Well, since you have worked in the health arena and education, because you're an internist, correct?
Internal medicine physician, yes.
I find it, I'm troubled a bit by, because I'm a communicator by trade. And I see how our students that we get in, our interns here, and the ones we encounter here at the station, we're primarily our demo is grown people, but we have students who do some things. Their level of concentration is low now compared to how it was. And focus. The focus is out the window. So I'm just like, I've been paying so much attention to this. I can see each year it's progressively getting worse. And I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist. I'm just a granny. Who works in this field, and I'm paying attention to communication. And how can a parent or a workplace balance that out where they can keep the bring focus back and, you know, bring communication back and not just in via a gadget.
Yeah,
human interaction.
You know, it's difficult with all the technology that you have today. When we were growing up, we went outside and we played. And
sure
so
did.
We went into our neighborhoods and we interacted with children in our neighborhoods. We knew who our neighbors were. They knew who we were.
Yeah.
You know, I tell my kids all the time that when I was growing up, we could be, as long as we were in the house, by the time the lights came on, the street lights came on, it was all good.
That's true.
I could be a mile away,
right.
You know, and my parents didn't necessarily know where we were. They just knew we were out with our friends, you know. But it's so dangerous these days.
It is.
You know, you just can't let your kids go out and play. And then with the technology, it has really created introverts.
Yeah.
You know, all they want to do is stay on their phone, play Xbox, play PlayStation. And I think a lot of those games and all the hours that they spend, you have to be careful as parents to monitor that because – Honestly, I don't think it's even good for not only socializing, but just their brain, you know, the brain waves, the neurons. It's like they're constantly firing, you know. And so
that can't be good.
It has to be, you know, there has to be a happy medium.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what's the happy medium? Time, creating time in a day when...
You know, where they can
your
do activities.
Would say like yes.
Right, because our son is, you know, we're guilty of it too, you know, just putting them in activities, extracurricular activities like sports.
Okay.
You know, where they can get out and play and socialize with other kids, doing something that they both like, that they all like and have in common, and just kind of get away from the television and the cell phone and the video games.
Yeah. But I guess if we lead by example.
That's true, too. Put the cell phone down ourselves, you know, and interact. You know, when you have dinner, sometimes we're guilty of it, and we're guilty of it, too. He may be somewhere in the house eating dinner. I'm in the kitchen. The kids are, you know, coming together as a family and just sitting down and taking that time to see how your day went.
Yeah.
How was school, you know? Is there, what did you learn today?
Right.
You know, did you have any conflicts with anyone? And how did you work through that?
Yeah.
So just having that conversation, keeping the communication open between you and your children and taking them away from, you know, let's put the cell phones down for an hour and let's talk.
And that to me is an area that parents and family members, workplaces can touch and agree on.
Yes.
Is that we all have that in common now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just something on television. It's everybody dealing with the same issue.
Yes.
I can't help but think in the future that's going to be a big one for you all that work with, you know, families and, you know, work at that level. Yeah. I just feel it's going to be huge.
I do, too.
Because I can see the way that things have changed so dramatically.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And it's needed, too.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is. So we, you know, we'll talk about it and you all think about it. It's real. It really is because everybody's impacted by it. Anyway, let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. It's Major Bumper the Bumper here trying to get up through Madison on 65 northbound passing OHB. Once you get up to Vietnam Vets, it starts to pick back up to somewhat of a decent interstate speed. We did have a wreck up there earlier. Charlotte Avenue 46 trying to move that crash out of that intersection. Heavy now on the South Loop, the West Loop, and 65 back down into Brentwood. This traffic report is brought to you by Princess Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The Port 4 WFSK comes from Nashville General Hospital at Harry.
You should be at the center of your own health care, and we are here to help you. Call the Nashville Healthcare Center today and make an appointment with one of our primary care providers, 615-341-4488, or visit us on the web at NashvilleHealthcareCenter.com. Tune in on Thursdays to hear WFSK's Artist of the Week. You can win some brand new music and stay up on the latest smooth and contemporary jazz releases. Our popular Artist of the Week segment returns on December 5th, where the Artist of the Week will be the first of our holiday features with his first Christmas project entitled Not So Silent Night. Can't wait to hear from Grammy Award-winning composer, saxophonist, and producer Gerald Albright. Don't miss the WFSK feature Artist of the Week during the noon hour. On Thursdays, you'll hear prime cuts, an interview with the recording artist, and you can win some brand new music right here on Jazzy 88, Nashville's Jazz Station. Support for WFSK comes from Daphne's Delectables Catering and Special Events. Serving Nashville since 1993, Daphne's Delectables is available for parties, corporate events, weddings, or private events. For more information about Daphne's Delectables, call 615-865-8675. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88, WFSK Historic Fisk University. And doctor in the studio with me right now is Dr. Shindanna Fagans. And among many things, she's a physician, educator, and author, and also has her own nonprofit organization that she works heavily on in the community. And Dr. Fagans and I are discussing ways of encouraging harmony among children, regardless of differences, and working through some of those very differences. She was escorted tonight by her husband and her children. Girl, you got to give them a shout out. You know,
yes,
you got,
my daughter Sabria is here.
Hey, Sabria.
She's a teen and 15-year-old, and yeah, she plays basketball for Father Ryan. And then
right,
I have my son back there.
Put her mic on so we can give Father Ryan a shout out.
And then I have my son. He's 12. He plays basketball and golf.
All right. Hey, hey, son. Uh-huh. What's up, man?
He's sitting in the back.
He's in the other studio. He's like, me, yes, you. And who else is here with you?
And my husband, Edwin, of 17 years.
He's now, here. X told
Edwin
me
senior
that you've been on my show before.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me ask you. Get you closer in to the mic. Now, help me, because I can't remember things like I used to. I remember you, but I'm, you know, I interview a lot of people.
Yes, ma'am.
Was it about seven years ago?
No.
About two.
About 2 years ago.
Two. Oh, Lord, I can't remember 2 years.
I wrote a book. It's entitled I Wouldn't Lead You Wrong, Thoughts from a Dad's Perspective.
Yeah.
It's my thoughts to my kids about life and all the experiences I've gone
through.
Oh,
hey, it's good to see you.
Jog your memory.
Right, yeah. Because I interview authors.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I have another book. It's called Poems for My Children that I wrote about 12 years ago when I was pregnant with my youngest son.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And so it's for kids ages, well, babies to about age 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, since you both have written that type of book and your parents and et cetera, is your wife hitting the ball out of the park on what she's discussing today?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Because so, in this environment, politically, socially, mm-hmm, economically, everything is geared around what you look like and how do I feel about you? Can I communicate with you? Can I associate with you? And what type of relationship that we have? Mm-hmm. And it's key for kids to understand that we need to have some commonality. We need to understand, mm-hmm, why do I want to be friends with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if children really took the time to get to know folks that they don't necessarily think that they would have anything in common with.
True.
I think they would find that, yeah, you know what, we do have some things in common, mm-hmm. you know, and so that's our whole point of our nonprofit and just having that conversation and getting it started. So,
So what kind of things could they have in common, you know, besides neighborhood or, you know, like the same kind of foods or something like that? What else could be some of?
I think, you know, that just in your community alone, mm-hmm. everyone, even, you know, kids up to adults, everyone wants to live in a safe community mm-hmm. where they can go out and, you know, and just enjoy life and not have to worry about the negative that's out there, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, people have in common. And just wanting to be a part of that community and make it better, you know. Even with sports, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of kids out there that love sports, right. whether it be basketball or football or golf, you know. So those are things that kids can find in common with one another. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to necessarily be that they play the sport, but they may like it, mm-hmm. you know. But I may play sports, and this person may like the sports, but that's still something that we have in common because we like it.
And having things in common, how do you encourage that culturally? Because grown people have a hard time with diversity. They really do.
Yeah, well, we, you know, at this elementary, middle school level, mm-hmm. we try to encourage it again through our curriculum and just putting activities together where kids can interact with one another mm-hmm. and see the things that they have in common. We worked with a school through AT&T. They sponsored us to go to Atlanta, and we did it, I think it was about 3 months. Mm-hmm. We were going back and forth. Over that period of time, and it was a charter school. Hmm. So it was kind of like a pilot study that we did with AT&T, mm-hmm. and the kids loved it. I mean, their major complaint was it was just not enough time. Hmm. They wanted more. So it was children from different backgrounds, different ethnicities, and they got children who really normally wouldn't even interact with each other
right.
were interacting with each other, and they were enjoying it.
Yeah.
So.
Now, part of your curricula and your book, you discuss, like, being able to have harmony among people around things such as hair and
right.
color.
Right.
Oh, those are big ones for the black community.
Right.
That's alone everybody else.
Yeah, one of the things that my partners and I want to do is a conference for teens mm-hmm. on colorism, mm-hmm. you know, because especially in the African-American community, mm-hmm. You have situations where we as African-Americans judge each other based on the color of our skins
sure.
and the texture of our hair, you
yeah.
know, the nappy hair versus the good hair,
yeah.
or you're too dark, or you know, I'm not light enough, or, yeah. you know, that paper bag,
right.
you know, back in the day, you know. So, yeah, it's really important, especially in the African-American community,
yeah.
for us to see that, you know, that commonality that we have, you know, just outside of our being our ethnicity in common, but, you know, just recognizing that that is an issue.
And, you know, you say the paper bag, but, I mean, generationally, they don't know nothing about that
I
stuff.
Know.
I mean, it's our generation that keeps carrying all this
right.
stuff. You know, we done taught it. We done moved it from generation to generation.
Yeah.
And how does that, that one, if that could get broken, if we could just stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, to me, that's like, okay, stop using the N-word. You don't mm-hmm. want to be called one. Quit mm-hmm. calling everybody else one.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, you got to.
So it's like a term of endearment among the African-American
no,
community.
No, it's not an endearment.
For some people.
Right. Well, that's an excuse.
Right.
Okay. To me, I used to believe that until up to a certain point. I'm like, no, it's not. That ain't no endear. If somebody call you that outside of your, even if they black
mm-hmm.
and they call you that, that ain't dear.
Right.
Somebody gets shot. I mean, in today's realm, there's no endearment.
Right.
You know, no. Back in the 60s and 70s, it might have been, you know, mm-hmm. my N-word. Right. But now you say that now, them shooting words right there.
And you don't hear any other race
no.
call each other
no.
negative names.
No. And it shouldn't be necessary for us to do it either.
Right.
So, I mean, some stuff I think can end if we would just let it end.
Yeah.
And why won't we let it end?
You know, that's a good question. I think that's, it's a hard question to answer, though. Mm-hmm. You know, why we won't let it end. It's in the rap music. It's, you know, which is a part of this culture.
Yeah.
So we hear it all the time that I think you become desensitized to the word.
Yeah.
Unless someone outside of your ethnicity says that word.
Right.
Then it becomes a problem.
Right.
Well, I think partly, too, is that people have to feel superior.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to call you something different than your name makes me feel better than you, mm-hmm. because it makes you feel bad.
But I don't think, I disagree. I think that...
Is that a self-esteem issue?
I think so. It's just, like I said, and you say it's an excuse, but for some, it is a term of endearment. Well, what's up, you know? I mean, it is. And
I think
some people don't look at it that way. Other people look at it as, you know, they don't agree with the term, you know. So there's different opinions about it.
Yeah.
You know, but some people, that's like, that's my boy, that's my girl, you know, and that's how we address each other, you know.
Well, I think people have digressed or changed or something is different about endearment on as far as that to me. Is I just see it, you know.
I think.
I don't see it the same.
Well, as long as we continue to call each other that, other folks are going to, outside of that our race, are going to think it's okay to say it too.
Of course.
So, you know.
I mean, that just
makes it hard.
That goes without saying.
Yeah.
I can't expect you to treat me better than I treat myself.
Exactly. And, you know, I just think the whole, you know, people know they don't like it. If you know you don't like it, well, why are you perpetuating it? You know, you are upset at somebody for doing what you do. So, you know, be about it. And I just think it's time for folks to just give it up.
Time for change.
Yeah, it is. It's time to get some cleansing on it. Let's let it go, you know. Have a end of the year thing and resolve in 2020. You're done with the dumb stuff, you know.
Resolve to say I will not say that.
No, no, don't do it. Because you know what's interesting, though, as since I'm old school, from the old school, I'm very proud of that, is that I remember when we used to call white people had names. You know, they was honkies and peckerwoods and all.
Yeah.
But, you know, you notice how we stopped doing that.
Yeah, it did, because my grandfather used to, that's where I first heard those names.
Yeah.
And that was
now, you notice how we got trained 80s. To stop doing that? That was a training.
And you don't hear them calling each other.
No. Mm-hmm. No, you're like, what is that? You might watch a old episode of the Jeffersons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, George Jefferson
Fred
used
Sanford.
To tell his neighbor and stuff, you know. And that was just the regular part of the speech.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we were trained to stop doing that by them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They trained us. So we can train ourselves to stop, you know. I know Dr. King dreams, but I do too, that we can get over some of these things that, that you know, we keep dragging around, perpetuating.
And that's why this book is so important, because it teaches kids at a young age that, again, no matter what differences we have, we still got so much in common if
true.
We take the time to find out what those commonalities are.
Yeah.
Right, and it teaches us to accept the difference, but also celebrate the similarities.
Yeah, to take the time.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have to take all day.
Right.
No.
Yeah. So is the curricula a step-by-step process to help?
Yeah, so we took pages out of the book, and then we developed a curriculum from each page.
And you do that with classrooms or?
Yes, so we've done it. Like I said, we did a partnership with AT&T. We've gotten a grant from a local company here, an IT company in Nashville, and we've done some in the schools in Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
So we've, and then we're in the Nashville libraries, Davidson County and some of the Rutherford County libraries.
How would that work in the juvenile justice system?
You know, that's a good idea. We really hadn't thought about that, but it's something that we probably might want to look at.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously we have some issues in this city.
Right.
And all across the country, but, you know, it just seems as though that could be a good place, particularly for some type of trainings or educations on that. Because some of the behavior, you know, could that be a part of the teaching process to help people better understand that, you know, you're not the only one who went through this or didn't have this or that or blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah, that's a thought. I have to add that to the list of things.
So I just gave you something else to do, didn't I?
Hey, my man. Ideas are welcome.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, because we have, you know, we still have two at large in this community, teens on the run.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
you know, nobody feels good about that.
Well, we also have to, those teens also have to understand that no matter what they've done, that they're loved.
Yeah.
You know, we are the first, well, I can't say we're the first country, but we do it very well by throwing people away. Our prisons are filled with our brothers and black, white, Hispanic, who don't get a second chance. And for people who say they are Christians, that's what God was about. It's about forgiveness.
Yeah.
We are so hard to forgive. And even those young men, and if they're listening, if they hear us, you know, we start with forgiveness. We start with love.
But when you make choices, there are consequences.
There are consequences, yes.
And, you know, that goes within the church and out.
Yes.
There are. And that's one of the lessons of the choices that they made.
Yes.
They are going to have to serve some time.
Yep.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, my prayer is that they come, you know, whoever knows where they are and is enabling, it's the jig is up and let's bring them children back in and, you know,
yes,
do it like that. Yeah. So that no one in the community is, there's no hurt, harm, or danger.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dr. Fagans, for more information on your curricula, your nonprofit, to have you guys come and do a training. To heal, honey. Heal them.
Yes, our website is wehavesuchincommon.com. So you can go to the website. The books are on the website. We have T-shirts. Our curriculum, we're pretty much working with, trying to work with metro schools and getting those in the school system and some of the private schools right now. So
excellent.
Things are looking good.
Excellent.
So we're working on it. And I think in a few years you will be hearing a lot about us.
Okay. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't let us be the last ones to know.
Oh, yes, you will.
Okay. All right. Dr. Fagans and our husband and family, we thank y'all.
Thank you
for having me.
So I've interviewed both the husband and wife,
yes,
authors. Go ahead, Sharon Kay. That's all we have for you, Nashville. That's A-L-L. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget, who loves you?
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.